Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this last day of April, April 30th, 2024. Before I introduce my guest and our topic for the day, I have a prayer request. As many of you have found out today, and many of you may be still unaware of the fact that my very longtime, very dear friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, went to the emergency room by ambulance earlier today, this morning, and it requires emergency surgery. It may have already happened as far as the surgery is concerned. I don't know yet. I don't have any updates from Dr. White, and I don't even know the reason for the emergency surgery, but obviously it was serious enough that required this surgery to take place immediately. So I ask of you to lift up Dr. White to our great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ's throne of grace and prayer, that he may be healed of whatever is ailing him, and that the doctors whose care Dr. White is in will be guided by God to not make any errors in judgment or in their physical care that they are providing for Dr. White, and pray that we have wonderful praise reports to provide for you tomorrow during this program, or perhaps even today during this program. I will let you know if I hear anything in the midst of our live interview. But today we have a returning guest, a dear friend of mine, who I love to interview, and I know he has become a favorite guest of many of our listeners on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. His name is Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. He is the pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and the author of an 8-volume commentary in the Westminster Larger Catechism called Authentic Christianity. Today we are going to be addressing the very timely topic, a biblical response to terrorism, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
It is always a privilege, Chris, always a privilege.
And right away, I would like you to give an update on something that I've already last week begun, or maybe even the week before that, begun to announce a prayer request I began to announce on your behalf to our listeners for that precious little baby who is your granddaughter, Rebecca Hope, who has a very serious life-threatening heart condition, and who was born at just a little over 3 pounds and is still not gained any weight since then. And the praise report I know about this whole situation is that your granddaughter has already outlived the expectations of her physicians. But if you could pick up where I left off there.
Well, thank you for praying for it. We don't know the outcome. It is life-threatening. And I have a hole in her heart, difficulty breathing. And she has already lived longer than we expected. So all I can say is just continue to pray.
We definitely will. And that's Rebecca Hope, the granddaughter of my guest today, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, and his wonderful wife, Becky. Well, also now, if you could explain with a brief description the Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia.
Cumming, Georgia is the county seat of Bedroom County, just north of Atlanta, Georgia, Forsyth County. And we're a small congregation. We have been in existence about 10 years. 10 years. And our people come from all over the place. They not only come from places locally, some people drive all the way from Knoxville, Tennessee, which is 3.5 hours or so.
Wow.
And our church continues to grow. This past Sunday, we had a full house. And mostly this past Sunday, it was young adults. But we have people from every age, race, and we praise the Lord for them. We're committed to the Westminster Confession of Faith and catechisms. We're dedicated to the Great Commission. Everything we do hopefully for the glory of God. We try to teach our people to live for his glory and for the enjoyment of him in their lives. We are taking some more people into the church next Sunday. So God continues to bless us. We have all kinds of evangelistic and missionary outreaches. And we praise the Lord for the way he has blessed us over the past 10 years from about 23 or 4 people to 75 or 80 people.
Oh, praise God. If anybody has interest in finding out more about Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, go to heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. And if you want to find out more about the 8-volume commentary that Dr. Moorcraft has written on the larger Westminster Catechism, you can go to westminstercommentary.com. westminstercommentary.com. And by the way, I have a bit of good news. A Reformed Anglican who saw my promotion of our interview today with the description that you are the author of the 8-volume commentary, Authentic Christianity, he responded by wanting to order the commentaries and asking for how he would do that, and I gave him that website, westminstercommentary.com.
Well, that is great. I wish every Anglican would buy my commentary.
And today we are addressing something very timely, something very important, a biblical response to terrorism. And right away I'm going to give our audience our email address. If you have any questions of your own, send them to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And if you could, provide for us a true definition of the word terrorism, because as you know, in our day and age, Christians handing out tracts against the sin of homosexuality would be considered by many an act of terrorism. Or open-air preaching would be considered an act of terrorism by many. And that kind of nonsense and slander, what does terrorism, in your opinion, really mean?
I think if people want a good explanation of it, get Rush Dooney's book, Institutes of Biblical Law. He has a long essay in there on the subject. It's very, very useful because people are not aware of exactly what terrorism is. Terrorism is not just a deadly thing. Terrorism is not just when people kill other people mercilessly. Terrorism is a philosoph- philosophical thing that we must not lose sight of its goal. It is revolutionary. It's not just killing people for the sake of killing people. Terrorism intimidates and kills in order to subdue people so as to bring about a revolutionary change in society. So that terrorism is revolutionary. And it is something that must be opposed wherever we see it raise its ugly head, terrorism or the spirit of terrorism. I've been studying the whole subject of terrorism from a biblical perspective since the 70s, when Congressman Larry McDonald was going to write a series of books on all the terroristic organizations in the world at that time. And he wanted me to write an introduction to each of those books on what the Bible says about terrorism. So I've been studying that subject ever since then. In the Bible, the first terrorists were the Amalekites. And Amalek was the grandson of Esau. And don't forget, God hated Esau. And Esau was an enemy of the people of God. Amalek was his grandson. There was all kinds of sibling rivalry in those early days of God's covenant people. And many times they were reconciled, like Jacob and Esau. But there was one rivalry that was never reconciled, and that was Amalek. Amalek hated the people of God. Jacob stole his grandfather's birthright and blessing. He never could get over that. And so his life was dominated by revenge for the people of God. Terrorism is not only a political thing. It not only is revolutionary, but terrorism is also religious. Because the motive behind, ultimate motive behind terrorism is it is a war against God and his moral order. You want to sing a good psalm on Sunday about terrorism? Sing Psalm 2.
Oh, yeah.
Where it talks about the kings of the earth taking counsel against the Lord and his anointed, trying to break free from his moral order, which they interpret as chains, as inhibitors to freedom. So Psalm 2 gives us a great description of terrorism and God's response to it and what our response should be. One of the greatest stories in the Bible is about how the wars between Amalek and Israel. They were always at war with each other. Sometimes Israel lost. Most of the time Israel won. But Amalek hated Israel and was seeking to destroy it. And one of the best stories is in Exodus chapter 17, verses 14 through 16, and there you have the Amalekites attacking the Israelites, who were weary, thirsty, couldn't find any water, been traveling through the desert. And the Amalekites took advantage of that situation and sought to destroy them. I want to read two verses from the Bible on what God says should be the attitude of God's people and everybody toward terrorists. Exodus 17, 14 through 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it. Now, what's important about that sentence? That's the first time in the Bible God ever told anybody to write a book. And of course, we see the development of the Bible. This is one of those places where we can see the Bible beginning to grow. And what God told Moses to write was about how the Amalekites treated the people of God, so the world would never forget what they did. So let me read it again. Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it. Because I, and this is God talking now, I will completely erase the memory of the Amalekites from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my victory banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of God. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." So the Amalekites must have done something terrible to the Hebrew church of the Old Testament, to the covenant people of God, for God to be so vigorously opposed to them. So that God said, "I will erase the very memory of Amalek from under heaven." And he said, "Because of what they've done to my people, the Lord will wage war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." And I understand this is not a racist thing. This is not an issue of genocide. This is not an issue of destroying a people simply because they are of a different race or a different group than your particular ethnic group. That's what the liberal media is trying to make of the war in Israel today. And Christians sometimes are so ignorant of what's going on in the world that it's easy for the liberals to influence them. Understand that the war in Israel today is not an ethnic war between the Palestinians and the Israelites. The war in Israel today is a sovereign nation fighting to defend itself against a vicious terrorist group called Hamas.
Amen.
Christians must make sure that 20-30 years ago, Netanyahu wrote a great book on terrorism. But anyway, so the war is not against Israel and the Palestinians.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. You can complete your thought there.
The war is not between Israel and Palestinians. It's a war between a nation and a terrorist group that is out to destroy that nation.
Amen. And what makes your view on this even more interesting than perhaps your average evangelical's position is that you are saying this. You are saying this in defense of the state of Israel today, even though you do not believe that the present-day state of Israel is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, nor do you believe that it's the same nation that existed in the Hebrew scriptures.
I believe, sir, that's exactly what I believe. That when the United Nations made Israel a nation in 1948, that was not the fulfillment of prophecy. That was the cause of all the wars that have been going on in the Middle East ever since. But a nation has the right to defend itself.
Yes, and in fact, it may surprise many people, but the conservative Jews, and especially the Hasidic Jews, were extremely vociferously, adamantly opposed to the forming of the nation of Israel in the mid-20th century.
Yes.
And the Hasidic Jews, not all of them, but a good deal of them, a good percentage of them, still are opposed to the nation claiming.
Yes, and you know,
go ahead.
Israel's the only nation that I know of that's had to fight to defend its right to protect itself.
Right.
And this is the second time Israel had to fight for her right to protect herself. You know when the first time was?
When?
Esther.
Huh.
Haman, the prime minister of the king, was an Amalekite. In fact, he was an Agagite, which means he was a member of the Amalekite royal family. And so that gives a whole different perspective on Esther. But let me read another passage. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 17 through 19. This is the Lord. Remember what the Amalekites did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt. When you were weary and worn out, they met you on your journey and cut off all who were lagging behind. They had no fear of God. When the Lord your God gives you rest from all the enemies around you in the land, he is giving you to possess as an inheritance, you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Do not forget.
Wow.
And so what Amalek and his descendants did was when the people of God were coming out of Egypt after having been in slavery for several hundred years, walking through a hot desert for 40 more, the Amalekites would attack them on the edges of these people. The Hebrew people, the Hebrew church, had about 3 million people marching through the wilderness. And so it was always on the edges of those people that the old men and the old women, the pregnant women, the little children, the sick, the weary, the stragglers, were always attacked by the Amalekites. They didn't attack the men, the soldiers of the Hebrew people. It was always the weak and the vulnerable that they attacked it. And God said, because of the way they treated my people like that, and remember the Bible, Israel's called, the church is called the apple of God's eye.
Amen.
And anybody that mistreats God's people has God himself to deal with.
Amen.
So what do Christians think today? Oh, let me tell you the other side of the coin. Terrorism, the motivation is they are at war with God, our God, not just any God, not the God of the Hindus, not the God of the Buddhists, but Jehovah is the God they're at war with. And God is at war with them. Terrorists hate Jehovah. Jehovah hates terrorism and hates terrorists. So there is a perpetual war between all terrorists and the living and true God, because the terrorists are trying always to overturn his sovereignty. They hate his moral order. And because we live in a humanistic world, the use of terrorism, said Rush Dooney, is a routine political fact in this modern world of humanism.
And we have to go to our first commercial break, so we'll pick up where you left off after you quoted Rush Dooney. And if anybody, again, would like to join us with questions of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III right after these messages from our sponsors.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase of jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com. Whether it is jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind, customized piece of jewelry created, no matter what it is, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will get 100% of the profits. If you have any intention to buy yourself or someone you love jewelry, and keep in mind Mother's Day is coming up right around the corner, and Father's Day, and I'm sure many wedding anniversaries, I'm sure many of you men out there are going to pop the question to the special lady in your life, and you'll need an engagement ring. No matter what the case may be, please go to royaldiadem.com today to at least get the ball rolling on your purchase and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. The reason why I'm saying to go to that site, royaldiadem.com, today is that we have no idea when royaldiadem.com is going to pull the plug on their offer to us where we receive 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to our listeners. So please, to at least get the ball rolling, go to royaldiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, the pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and the author of the 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism, Authentic Christianity. We are discussing a biblical response to terrorism, and our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Before I go to any listener questions, I want you to pick up where you left off. You were recommending a book by R.J. Rushdoony that ties in with our subject today.
Rushdoony wrote one of the most important books of the 20th century called Institutes of Biblical Law, Volume 1, and showing how the details of the law of God in the Bible relate to all of the political and religious and economic and social issues of the 20th century. And in that book is an essay on terrorism, explaining very carefully and wisely what it is and what God's attitude is toward it and what a Christian's attitude toward it and how a Christian is to respond to the spirit of Amalek that's still very much alive in the 21st century. Christians have got to keep in their mind the heart of what terrorism is. Terrorism is religious war by those who hate Jehovah and who cannot stand or will refuse to tolerate his moral or social order, and so they'll do whatever they have to do, including suicide bombers, to break free from that order. I get very weary when there's a suicide bomber killing people and people say concerning that suicide bomber that he's crazy. He's not crazy. He's not crazy at all. The reason that Americans think he's crazy is because they cannot imagine a man being so dedicated to his God that he's willing to sacrifice his life for it. And so we must understand that these are religious people and that they hate America. They hate Christian America. And God's attitude toward them is they must be eradicated, that civil magistrates cannot be neutral. They cannot be mild in their response to them. They must be definite and severe in their response to terrorists, because if you deal with terrorism with a soft hand, they'll only become more violent, and their violence will become more perverted. So when civil magistrates deal with terrorists, it must be completely just and not with a velvet hand. People have asked me on more than one occasion why God is so severe in the Bible on the Amalekites. I mean, there's another verse I didn't even read. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 2 and 3. Samuel said to King Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites. Totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, and children, and infants, and cattle, and sheep, and camels, and doggies." Now, why in the world would a God of love and a God of mercy be so severe and so harsh on the Amalekites that he wants to wipe them out, the very memory out of existence? God is never unjust. God is a righteous judge who judges rightly. And he would never mistreat somebody. He never would treat anybody unjustly. God loves his people. He doesn't love Amalekites. God loves his people. And by his people, I mean his covenant people. And who are his covenant people? Galatians 3:29 says, those who belong to Jesus Christ by faith, regardless of ethnic origin, are the heirs of the covenant promises of God and the seed of Abraham. So the true seed of Abraham, from a Christian perspective, is not an unbelieving Jewish person. It is those people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they are Jew or Gentile.
Amen.
Regardless of their ethnic origin.
Amen.
And anybody that mistreats the children of Abraham, that is those who belong to Christ by faith, anybody that mistreats them, they have God to deal with.
Amen.
And so God fully intends to defend his people. And when he says these harsh things, seemingly harsh things, about how they are to be treated, that they are to be waged war against from generation to generation and all that, there's nothing unjust about it at all. What is justice from God's perspective? The average Christian doesn't even understand what justice is. Justice, because they think it's an economic thing, because they're committed to social justice, where there should be an equal distribution of wealth. But that's not justice. Justice, as defined by God, means that the heinousness of a crime determines the severity of the punishment, because the punishment must always fit the crime. Let me say that again. Justice, as defined by God, means that the heinousness, the wickedness of a crime determines how severe that criminal is to be punished by the state, because the punishment must fit the crime. People, Christians today, are so ignorant. There's a verse they hate. There's a verse that they say, we're glad we're not under the Old Testament anymore. And yet this verse defines the essence of justice from God's perspective. And that is this. When a crime is committed, somebody's injured or deprived, they must be punished according to the eye for eye, life for life principle in the Bible. That's why we believe abortion is murder. That's why we believe that anybody that participates in or contributes to the abortion of an unborn baby is a criminal and should be punished as a criminal, because the principle of justice is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and life for a life. If somebody drives down the road and deliberately kills somebody by running them over, he should die, life for life. If somebody drives down the road and kills a butterfly, he should not die. That would be completely unjust, for killing somebody for killing a butterfly. But it is perfect justice to demand the life of someone who has deliberately and wickedly taken the life of another person.
Now, you'll immediately hear some evangelicals have Matthew 5, 38 through 48 pop into their heads, and they'll say, wait a minute, Pastor Joe, Jesus said you have heard it, that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. So how do you exegete?
That passage has been quoted to me many times, and it's because if when they see a conflict between what I'm saying and that passage, it's because they don't understand the context of what it's saying. Jesus is addressing ordinary people in their ordinary life. He says also in the Sermon on the Mount, don't take oaths. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. But he's not talking about judges, political officials. He's already told them to be faithful every oath they take. He's just telling his disciples, be honest, be truthful, so that when you say yes and no and you promise things, you don't need to add an oath to it in everyday life. And the same thing with taking the idea of slap you on one cheek, turn your head and let them slap you on another cheek. Or if they take your clothes, let them take your coat too. That contradicts what God has taught elsewhere in the Bible. The Bible clearly teaches that we have the right of self-defense. That when somebody seeks to do us harm, or any member of our family harm, we have the God-given, not the right, but the God-given duty to defend ourselves and defend our families. When it says, and so slapping you on the face and you turning the other cheek, that's not a life-threatening situation. That's insulting. That does not involve self-defense. It's somebody slapping you on one side, and now you are insulted. They take your coat, you give them your cloak. Now, who in the world would do something like that? Somebody with a sword in his hand. A Roman soldier. So if a Roman soldier comes up to you and insult you, don't stand there and plead your rights. Turn the cheek, because he has a sword and you don't. And when somebody takes your coat, says, I want you to carry this a mile down the road, and that's probably a Roman soldier, you carry it 2 miles. Because that means you got him at least 2 further miles away from your family. So Jesus was very wise in the counsel he gave to his disciples there. I'd hate to live in a world where Christians, some Reformed Christians and Evangelical Christians, interpret the Bible in the way they do now. That we have the right of self-defense, just like a nation has the right of self-defense. But if you're dealing with somebody that has the power to kill you, and you do not have the equivalent power to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If he asks you to do something like carrying his coat or slapping you on the face, don't argue with him. Get him away from your house. Get him away from your family. And pray that God would continue to defend you.
Now,
you have the right of self-defense. Yeah.
I was just going to say that during the height of the COVID crisis, I had different sides of the question on how far do Christians go to obey the government. And there was one of my guests who was taking the side against my own views, was using this passage to basically instruct us, in his opinion, if the government says, wear a mask, no matter how stupid you think it is, you go even further than that. You wear 2 masks. If they say, wear the mask inside during a gathering of a lot of people, you go even further. You wear that mask outside, or those masks outside. And if the government says you got to stay 6 feet away from somebody while online at the Department of Motor Vehicles, you stay 12 feet away, you know, and on and on and on we could go. How is this person misrepresenting the text?
Well, it is amazing how many ignorant Christians we have and how many slaves we have. There are more slaves. I hope I don't offend anybody, but there are more slaves in the United States today than were in 1861. and these slaves are slaves to the federal government. We are to render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And what does Caesar, what do we owe him? Romans 13 says, owe no one nothing except love, which is obedience to the law of God.
Amen.
So the only thing we owe the federal government of the United States is obedience to God's law. And people have been so brainwashed. I mean, one mask is very unhealthy. I mean, they assume the government knows what it's talking about when it says that masks are healthy, preventative of COVID. There's no proof of that whatsoever.
Masks are
extremely unhealthy.
That's right. My doctor, my physician, has been always opposed to the mask wearing, saying that any first-year medical student knows that that would never in a million years prevent the spread of a virus. And he also is still very extremely opposed to the COVID vaccine and gives documented medical reasons on his website why you should not take the vaccine.
Yes. So understand that when there's somebody, whether it's an individual or an institution, that is trying to dismantle God's social order and impose upon the people another law than the law of God, it becomes a threat to you. There's two chapters in the Bible, Romans 13 and Revelation 13. In Romans 13, it says that the civil magistrate should be our servant, a servant of the people for good, a servant of God for good. But then in Revelation 13, it says that the civil government is a beast. That's an enemy of the people. So what causes a civil magistrate to cease being a servant and to start being a beast? They start imposing upon the people another law than the law contained in Holy Scripture. You read in Revelation where the beast requires you to carry a mark, the mark of the beast, on your wrist, on your forehead. And if you don't bear that mark, you don't get jobs, you can't buy food. And of course, it's directly aimed at Christians.
By the way, could you pick up on the mark of the beast? Could you pick up on the mark of the beast when we return from our midway break, please?
Sure.
And folks, don't forget, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question for Dr. Moorcraft, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Please write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can from our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to them, keeping in mind that our advertisers and the finances that comes through them is what keeps us on the air. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices, and now they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Chris Arnzen here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I strongly recommend that you purchase a book that is very much in harmony with our conversation today on a biblical response to terrorism, a book published by solid-ground-books.com. Yearning to Breathe Free, Thoughts on Immigration, Islam, and Freedom by David Dykstra. An excellent book that I am sure you will benefit from. So go to solid-ground-books.com today and order that book. Make sure you mention that you heard about solid-ground-books.com from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest today, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, and our discussion of a biblical response to terrorism, I have a couple of very important announcements to make. If you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, folks, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com today, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing in a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way from your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Where you can mail your checks, made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, like Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III does for Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice, like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event, no matter what it is that you'd like to advertise, as long as it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Please always remember, I never want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners who are giving financially to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to cut in to the money that they have set aside to give to your own local church on the Lord's Day in order to help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. In other words, never give your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Also, if you're really struggling to make ends meet financially, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is extremely clear that we are primarily to use the money with which God has blessed us, which is still God's money. We're primarily to use that to provide for our church and our family, and providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you do love this show, you don't want it to disappear, and you're blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you love the show and don't want us to disappear. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally sound, theologically solid church like Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people all over the world in our audience find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you too. So if you are without a biblically sound church home, no matter where in the world you live, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III on our theme, A Biblical Response to Terrorism, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Before I go to any of our listener questions, Dr. Moorcraft, I want you to pick up about the mark of the beast, a very controversial subject that divides evangelicals. If you could pick up where you left off there.
Well, there are a lot of figures of speech in the book of Revelation. In fact, the first two verses of the book of Revelation tells us that we're not to take it literally, but we're to take it figuratively. And most of the figures of speech in the book of Revelation have already been used somewhere earlier in the Bible. So we have to read the whole Bible so we can understand the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see figures of speech, look earlier in the Old Testament or New Testament where those figures may be used. Like, for instance, in the book of Deuteronomy, it calls upon believers to have a mark on their hands and on their foreheads and on their eyes and on their tongue. And that mark is the law of God. So that we as Christians obey the law of God, not to make points with God, because we're his children and we want to please him. So in the book of Revelation, when it talks about wearing a mark, requiring a mark on your wrist and on your forehead, you've got to see that in terms of what the Old Testament has already said about a mark.
In fact, even Hasidic Jews today misunderstand their own Hebrew scriptures and wear those small black leather boxes on their heads and hands.
Yeah.
They're called the phylacteries or the tefillin.
Right.
That contain the scrolls.
And those commands to wear the law of God on your forehead and on your hands were never meant to be literal.
Right.
That was never intended for you to wear one of those on your forehead, the little black box, because it also says you're supposed to wear the law of God on your eyes.
Right.
That's hard to see. You got a little black box on your eyes. It says that you're to wear that the law of God on your tongue. It's hard to speak if you have a little black box on your tongue. So the point is, not that we wear these little black boxes, but we let the law of God govern everything we see, everything we hear, everything we say, everything we do with our hands. And that's the law of God. So then when you come to the book of Revelation, and it talks about the beast requiring of us another mark than what God requires, is talking about a tyrannical civil government who is forcing us to live by another law than the law of God contained in Holy Scripture. So a tyrant, as far as the Bible is concerned, is not simply a Stalin or an Idi Amin or a Mao Zedong. A tyrant is any civil government that tries to force us to live by another law than the law of God contained in Holy Scripture. That's the mark of the beast. That's when the civil government becomes a beast, when it tries to get us to live by another law than the law of God contained in Holy Scripture. One thing I want to emphasize is when it comes to fighting terrorism, it is the responsibility of the state, the church, and the family, all three, to fight terrorism tooth and nail. How does the state do it? In Romans 13, the state is said to be a terrorist of evildoers. That it is to be to bring the vengeance of God to bear against all those who are criminal in their behavior. So the state has the responsibility to be just and to be severe in that justice and punishing anybody that would seek to overturn God's moral order or injure anybody or force anybody to live by another law than that contained in Holy Scripture. So the state is to terrorize evildoers. It's to punish evildoers. It's not to redistribute the wealth. It is to punish evildoers and to punish them severely the way God says crime should be punished. How does the church do it? The church fights terrorism by the preaching of the Word of God. Now, you're not going to fight terrorism alone and get it to win with just the preaching of the Word of God. The state must be strong. The state must be just. The state must be severe. It must be strict in its maintenance of its moral order. But it also has to include the church preaching the Word of God. I'll tell you two examples as possibilities the people that you're listening to could do. Our church is a little church, 75 people. But we have already sent two mission trips to south of the border in Mexico and one in Cuba, where there are these tent cities where terrorists are coming in with other illegal aliens. And we send a team of 5 or 10 men to go down to these tent cities and to preach the gospel. We pay for everything. The state pays nothing. So even a church as little as ours can oppose terrorism by the preaching of the gospel in these tent cities. But there's another way, too. Back in the 80s, for about 15 years, I would go to South Africa. And one time I was called to come into the office of the general who is responsible for military intelligence. And he said, "Mr. Moorcraft, we want you to know why we brought you here." And I said, "We brought you here? I don't know." He said, "Well, we brought you here, paid your way here, published your book here, paid for all of your preaching assignments here." He says, "Because we fight terrorism. We kill terrorists. We kill them overtly. And we kill them subvertly. But killing terrorists is not going to render South Africa secure. And so we have brought you down here so that you can preach the gospel to anybody that we can get a hold of on television stations, in churches, in military camps. Because what's going to render South Africa secure is the killing of terrorists by the state and the preaching of the gospel by the church." So the church has to take seriously. Christians have been so confused what they've been told by television newscasters and social justice people is, we just need more love. If we're more loving, love is not the answer to terrorism. You have other Christians that says that we must be sympathetic with their needs. Sympathy with the needs of a terrorist will only lead to more terrorism.
Amen.
Some Christians say, "Well, we just got to be more evangelistic." Well, that is true, and I've just shown you how you can be evangelistic. But it's not evangelism alone that's going to end terrorism. It's going to be evangelism, the preaching of the gospel, and the strict and just pursuit of terrorists by the state. Then what about the family? How does the family fight terrorism? Number one, by the father having the means in his house to kill a terrorist who would come into his house to his family to harm. And the same thing with the church. In our church, we tell people when you've come to our church, you're safer than you've been in a long time. That if any terrorist tried to come in our house, in our church, or our house, they would be dead. But then also there's another way. Let me read to you this quote by Rush Dooney. Rush Dooney points out the positive ways the Amalekites of today must be dealt with. Quote, the education that breeds Amalekites must be replaced with Christian education. Churches, which are congregations of Amalek, must be replaced with Christian churches which believe, teach, and apply the whole word of God. The state must become Christian and apply biblical law to every area of life and must enforce the full measure of God's law. The permissive family must give way to the Christian family. Only then can Amalek be destroyed.
Amen. And one thing to clarify, when you said love is not the answer to thwart terrorists, in one sense, I believe it is, in a very powerful sense, in that you are demonstrating love towards the potential victims of terrorism, and even more importantly, toward God and His Word. Am I exactly right? Right. Well, we have Althea.
I was talking as a liberal would talk.
Right. Exactly.
That we got to love the terrorists. If we love the terrorists, they'll love us back.
Right.
Which is the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Right. And of course, they never view things that way when they are talking about conservative evangelicals. In fact, as I've said earlier, they identify us as terrorists very often. But we have Althea.
Oh, they do, in fact. But excuse me, let me
sure.
interrupt you by telling you how they have done it. When I was running for Congress, there was a syndicated newspaper column that went to newspapers all over America. And it said this. It said that the modern terrorist and Taliban in America is the Calvinist, because it is Calvinism, and it is the view that my God is the only God that breeds terrorism. Now that's what they really believe.
Right.
They really believe that today's Calvinist is the modern Taliban. And they're serious about it.
Yep.
And that's why they can be so vicious.
Yep.
I mean, the Taliban and the modern terrorist is really committed to a jihad of erasing, not the Amalekites, but erasing the Reformed faith and the influence of the Reformed faith from American culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an exaggeration.
Right.
And we've got to understand that that is the situation. They will not be happy until the Reformed faith is dead and the United States is something different than what it was created to be.
Amen.
So when they do things that are and say things that are particularly anti-Christian. They're not. It's not accidental. They're not being stupid.
Mm-hmm.
They know exactly what they're doing.
Yes, they do. And we do have Althea in Table Rock, Missouri, who says, how do you respond to the liberals and even a very tiny segment of conservative Christians, especially in Great Britain, who say that the patriots here in America were guilty of terrorism when they threw the tea off of the ship in Boston Harbor at the Boston Tea Party, and also they would claim that they are just doing the same thing that the patriots did back then. And also, the ones that are against what the Revolutionary War stood for say that the American colonists were violating Romans 13.
Yeah, I've heard that too. And in fact, I know Reformed people that believe that.
Yes, so do I.
And it's so discouraging when they do say that. The American War of Independence was a thoroughly biblical war, because it was not just a bunch of farmers and country boys that got their guns together and decided to fight the British. It was 13 sovereign states who mustered legal armies to defend those states. There was nothing vigilante about them. There was nothing illegal about them. It was legal from beginning to end. And so Americans can't be confused about that either. The American War of Independence was a war fought to defend a Christian moral order against a massive empire that wanted to destroy that order. Nothing unbiblical about that. Self-defense is thoroughly biblical. So I grow very weary of Christians who say things like that when they haven't even done their homework.
That's right.
They haven't read books about the American War of Independence. They don't even know exactly what it was, what it was fought for. And if we read the Declaration of Independence, we'll see that it's simply a document that was shaped and influenced by the theology of the great Scottish reformer, John Knox. And the act is, it was not them acting like vigilantes. It was a colony saying that we have entered into a covenant with the King of England. And we are to be faithful to that covenant unless the king should be unfaithful to his side of the covenant. And then if the king breaks covenant with us, he becomes a despot and we're no longer accountable to obey him. And so the covenant is broken. And you can go through the Declaration of Independence and see that was their attitude. Before the colonies declared their independence of Britain, Mecklenburg County, in where Charlotte, North Carolina is, declared its independence before the colonies declared their independence.
Huh.
And they accused the king of breaking covenant with him and therefore being a threat to their lives. And the reason Mecklenburg County declared its independence from England before the colonies is because Mecklenburg County had the highest percentage of Scottish Presbyterians in any county in the United States. And these Presbyterians, of course, We're all going to follow John Knox.
By the way, I have an important announcement to make that I just received. Pastor Josh Bice of Praise Mill Baptist Church in Douglasville, Georgia, a dear friend of mine and a mutual dear friend of Dr. James R. White, for whom we asked for prayer in the beginning of this show. Josh Bice is also founder and president of G3 Ministries. He says that Dr. White's condition is not life-threatening, thank God, and should be resolved very soon. So I just wanted to give you folks that update.
Well, also, I just found out 5 minutes ago that my little grandbaby gets to come home.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Wow.
In the next couple days.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah.
Just to pick up where you left off when you were saying that terrorists are, by definition, revolutionaries, I have a couple of questions. One, does that mean we should stop calling the War of Independence the Revolutionary War? And number two, when Christians are seeking through the political arena and through even through evangelism as well to overturn our current leftist government's positions on homosexuality and abortion, that could be viewed as revolutionary by many. In fact, it is viewed as revolutionary by leftists. So how do you answer both of those questions?
Well, the first thing I would say is that, what was the first one?
Should we stop calling the War of Independence that we had with the British?
Oh, yeah.
The Revolutionary War.
Yeah, sure. I think the American War of Independence was not a revolution.
Right.
The revolution was the French Revolution of 1789. That was a real revolution.
And that was vehemently anti-Christian.
Yeah, that was the first war of its kind in the history of the world,
mm-hmm.
because its purpose was to eradicate Christianity from France.
Right.
Whereas the American War of Independence was to defend the Christian moral order. It was a war of self-defense. It was not a revolution. In a revolution, you try to destroy the authorities of the civil government. We didn't try to destroy anybody's authority. We just wanted freedom from the tyranny of the beast of Great Britain. So I never call, it takes thought, you got to remember it, but I never call the American War of Independence a revolution. It's so important to teach people the difference between the American War of Independence and the war, the French Revolution. The French Revolution was the first war of its kind, an attempt to eradicate Christianity from France. The war of American independence was to defend and uphold a Christian moral order. It was a war of self-defense.
Amen.
What was the second thing?
The second thing was, how do you respond to liberals and leftists who say that evangelicals are attempting to accomplish is an act of revolution, because we are literally trying to overturn what we view as a wicked government?
We are trying to return to a constitutional government, not to overturn the government of the United States, but to get it back to its original position with laws that reflect the law of God and not the laws of man. I mean, I've never even heard that excuse before.
Well, how would then a Christian view a country that never had a constitutional republic and perhaps is being governed in a similar wicked way that we are enduring, or even something on the opposite end of the extreme, Christians under Sharia law who want to topple that kind of a government, wouldn't they not be revolutionaries?
They would. They would be people who are trying to overturn an anti-Christian, tyrannical government to have freedom for that people. Yeah. So that if people who are living in Muslim countries, they first of all should try to evangelize the country. And then secondly, to seek to overturn any laws that are in their government that are not based upon the law of God.
So are you saying that would be a good kind of revolutionary?
I wouldn't call him a revolutionary.
Oh, okay.
I would call him somebody who's trying to restore God's moral order to the civil order of that particular country.
Okay. We have Charlie in Jamestown, Kentucky. It's always such a delight to hear Pastor Moorcraft. I was blessed immensely to sit under his faithful preaching, teaching, and fellowship for many years when I lived in the Atlanta area. I was about to ask if he might share his stance on the importance of the civil magistrate's role in fighting terrorism, but as I was writing this, he addressed the very topic. If you might still read this, I'd like to point out for listeners that they can hear literally thousands of hours of Pastor Moorcraft's preaching and teaching online at sermonaudio.com. My wife and I so enjoy still hearing his powerful preaching that way. What a treasure we all have in the Lord's having raised up Pastor Moorcraft as one of his faithful ambassadors. So there's no question there, but just...
Oh, well, that's good. Did you say that was Charlie Earhart?
Yes, I didn't say his last name, but yes, it's Charlie in Jamestown, Kentucky.
Oh, I didn't mean to say that, but anyway, yeah, Charlie, that man is a great man and a great defender of the faith, and I thank him for everything he said.
Well, Charlie, if you give me your full mailing address, because I believe you're a first-time questioner, give me your full mailing address, and cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, will ship out to you a free New American Standard Bible. Compliments of the publishers of the NASB at nasbible.com, and also thanks to our friends at cvbbs.com for picking up the shipping cost. And we are going to our final break right now, so please, if you have any questions, send them now to chrisarnson@gmail.com, and we'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. Don't go away.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Dave Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
And we want to thank Phil Johnson, whose voice you just heard. Phil Johnson, the executive director of John MacArthur's ministry, Grace to You. I just received today a very large shipment of free hardback copies of John MacArthur's latest book, The War on Children. And these are for the pastors that are going to be attending my next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For the very first time, featuring guest speaker Dr. Joel Beakey, founder and president of Puritan Reform Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. If you are a man in ministry leadership and you'd like to attend this free luncheon, which will include a free heavy sack of brand new books personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom, merely send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And you will be registered absolutely free. This is going to be held Thursday, June 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And we hope to see you there. Also, I want to remind our listeners that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call Dan Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT. Or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Make sure you mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. And Dr. Moorcraft, I'd like you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today when it comes to a biblical response to terrorism.
Well, here's the thing, but that is so important. Terrorism does not work in a culture where people believe that the worst thing that could happen to them is death.
Right.
Now, let me say that again. Terrorism does not work in a culture where most people believe that the worst thing that could happen to them is death. So, as long as America is not a Christian culture, terrorism works. And there is no solution until we return to Christ. Just as in every other thing, we must return to Christ. We must believe that death is not the worst thing that could happen to us. We must believe that the state must be just, as God defines justice. The church must be clear as a bell when it comes to preaching the word of God and standing for the truth. That fathers must be willing to defend their families at the cost of their own lives. And all of these institutions working together are the only things that can stop terrorism in the United States. Remember, terrorism is a revolutionary philosophy. These terrorists do not kill people for fun. They kill people so as to intimidate them, so as to scare them, to change them, so that these terrorists can transform our country into something that it was never intended to be. And when you listen to these politicians like Biden and Schumer and all these other people, they are the kind of politicians that breed terrorism. It's not the Christian. The Taliban of the modern world is not the Calvinist. The Taliban of the modern world is the Biden or the other socialists that are doing what they can to de-Christianize America and to criminalize Christianity. That is terrorism.
Amen. And aren't we wrong, or isn't anyone wrong, when they conclude that the leftist in the political arena is not religious, when they wrongly think that these passionate, radically anti-Christian political figures are trying to promote their worldview? People think that that's fine and dandy because they're not imposing a religion upon the citizens of this nation or any nation. But that's not true, is it? They have their religion that they are imposing on us.
They are pushing a false religion to replace the religion of Christianity.
Right.
This is not a neutral war. This is a war for the survival of Christianity in the United States.
Amen. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have your websites once again. The website for Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia is heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. And the website to purchase the 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism, authored by Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, titled Authentic Christianity. That website is westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. And I want to remind our listeners, once again, if you're a man in ministry leadership and you are available on Thursday, June the 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., I strongly urge you to come here by plane, train, or automobile to Perry County, Pennsylvania, for the next free biannual Iron Sharp and Zion Radio Pastor's Luncheon featuring keynote speaker Dr. Joel Beakey, founder and president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's absolutely free of charge, which includes your lunch and includes every attendee receiving a heavy sack of brand new books personally selected by me and donated by publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom, absolutely free of charge. There is not one thing that is charged for at these luncheons. So please, if you can attend, if you're a man in ministry leadership, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Moorcraft, for, as always, doing such a superb job on the show. I want to thank everybody who listened today, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.